down in the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Hi there, neighbor. Come on in and set a spell. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to help brighten up your day on another Saturday that really needs brightening, too. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. Yes, the day needs brightening. And my throat needs brightening, oh my. And thank you so much, Fred. Fred and I always have a good time visiting before we save the country, before the program comes on. Well, it needs saving, so we're at it. You know, it's still old man winter, but well, it isn't quite as fierce as it was, you know. But did you read in our paper where it said this January is the sixth coldest January on record in this country? I thought it was mighty cold. Now and then I get a copy sent to me. Well, I want to tell you about this. First, though, I want to say before this paper, I am to go down to Halfway tonight to speak at a PTA. I want to send word that I just cannot. My friends don't want me to go in this kind of weather. It's going to turn very cold and 10 above, and my children are having a fit about it. And heaven only knows how I hate to disappoint an audience, not that I'm anybody, but when I say I'll come. And I want to tell the folks who are coming after me to not come. I just can't do it. You know, Fred, I think it's awful risky for me to do it. My children just have... And I'm sorry, I've been intent. I thought this was the easiest way maybe to tell you, but I'll see also if I can call the lady on the telephone when I get home. And I'm so sorry. Give me a rain check. Let me come again. Well, anyway, I told you this was it said in the paper that this January is the sixth coldest January ever on record in this country. And I, as I said, I thought it was mighty cold. Now and then I get a copy sent to me of the Harvest Times, a paper published at Cass Hill, Missouri, by those wonderful retired people who have come into that country around about Cassville to spend their harvest years. And they publish this little paper. It has a little verse which says, this last copy it said, "It's a magic thing and sweet to remember, you're nearer to spring than you were in September. So sang a bird in the dark of December." You know, we just cannot realize how this country is becoming the home and the great mecca of thousands of retired people who come here from every state in the Union and the big cities, and they settle here in this Ozark country and buy homes, and they love it. And I wonder if it just won't be an Eden of retired people before long. People with splendid retirement salaries, believe me, and people of culture and refinement. As I meet them, they are every one of them just carried away by the Ozark country. Mr. and Ms. Harry Jellies of Cassville, I met them at a big dinner. I went down there to speak to these retired people. And they sent me a lovely jar of wild possum grape jelly for Christmas, which they'd made. So they're getting into our ways, you know. And it put my old-time possum grape jelly to shame. You never ate such jelly. Their name is Jellies, Mr. and Mrs. Harvey, J-E-L-L-I-E-S, so no wonder they can make good jelly. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Harvey Jellies. I wrote you a little letter. This paper that they print, the Harvest Times, is a beautifully printed sheet on elegant paper, about 6 pages. It's the voice of the Golden Harvest Club at Cassville, and it keeps track of all their doings, and it's printed monthly. It's not a general newspaper, but it has some splendid editorials. It's their own paper. I read a cute quip in the last one. They say a fool and his money are soon parted, but how did a fool and his money get together in the first place? That's a good one. That's always puzzled me, too. How does a fool and his money get together? Now, I want to stop here. I want to send my love and the love of all of us up here to Mr. J.W. Brazil of this city. Our wonderful singer. My, he can sing yet. 89, I believe he is, or 90. I forget, Mr. Brazil. He's the leader of the far-famed Shape Note Christian Harmony Band that's been here for years, you know, singing the old shape notes. I missed your singing me the Christmas Carol Christmas Day, Mr. Brazil, as you have done for years. Every Christmas he calls me up on the phone and sings me a carol over the phone. But I know you don't feel so perky, but cheer up. You're with us here for a long time yet, and God bless you. And say, do you know something, friends? Next Friday, the 8th, we say happy birthday to Dr. Reepma, 85 years old. Now remember that. Send him a card. Next Friday, the 8th, happy birthday to Dr. Reepma. Yes, sir. You know, speaking about papers, Grand Acres in the suburbs of Springfield is one of the finest rest homes for old folks in the United States. I wish I knew that every home of its kind in America was as lovely and hospitable and kind, and the folks were as happy in it. It's just really amazing. And they also print a little paper about once a month for their own reading. They type their paper, mimeograph it, you know, it's fine. All about what they do and their own news. And its very capable editor, Roberta Hermes, and its reporter, Walter Owen, are just two in a million. They send me the paper, and I read every word of it. In the last issue is a little poem, which I think I have read before on the air a year or so ago. But everyone liked it, and I had lost it, and I'm glad to have it again, and I'm going to read it to you because it contains such a downright, down-to-earth message. You'll like it. It says, maybe you've heard it before, if with pleasure you are viewing any work a man is doing, if you like him or you love him, tell him now. Don't withhold your approbation till the parson makes oration and he lies with snowy lilies o'er his brow. For no matter how you shout it, he won't really care about it. He won't know how many teardrops you have shed. If you think some praise is due him, now's the time to pay it to him, for he cannot read his tombstone when he's dead. More than fame and more than money is the comment kind and sunny, and the hearty warm approval of a friend, for it gives to life a savor, and it makes you stronger, braver, and it gives you heart and spirit to the end. If he earns your praise, bestow it. If you like him, let him know it. Let the words of true encouragement be said. Do not wait till life is over and he's underneath the clover, for he cannot read his tombstone when he's dead. No, that's the truth. I wish he could, because it always says a lot of nice things. Yes, indeed, one word of simple kindness now is worth 10,000 tears of regret after you lie under the sod, and 10,000 mean words said to people. I want to thank the dear women around about the Ozarks and down in Arkansas for sending us more trading stamps to pay on the bus for the children in the home at Marshall, Missouri, with retarded minds. Bless their little hearts. Wish you could see a lot of the pictures that Eula gave me of them. The women keep patiently sending me the stamps, and I do so appreciate it. Even women in Arkansas sending stamps, but then I understand there's some children there from the Arkansas Ozarks. I wrote 15 thank you cards to women who sent stamps, mailed them yesterday, and I will write more. You all heard Mrs. Carl Wyman on this program last week, and she is heart and soul in this thing, and one of the originators. I call her the good angel of the bus, and she works hard at it with the committee. Thank you all 1,000 times. Any kind of stamps you have, if you can spare them, and we're going to get this bus. My sweet neighbor, Ms. Edna Wilkerson, who lost her dear husband recently, well, there was no woman ever had a dearer neighbor than I've got in that woman. If you'd see the big cake she baked me Christmas, she's always doing things like that. I never knew such a woman. Well, she wants to know if there's anyone in Springfield who weaves rag rugs, you know, the kind you tack rags for, weaves them on a loom, just throw rugs. She doesn't want that regular plain weaving. There's a sort of crow's foot stitch, you know, in weaving. Maybe you know what I mean. I don't know how to tell it exactly, but it's made with a warp some way. It makes a sort of a little crow's foot. That's the kind that she wants her rugs woven in. Anyway, call her up, Mrs. Edna Wilkerson on North Jefferson, here right by me. If you do loom weaving, or call me and I'll run over and tell her. You remember I asked for beer seed for a lady who wanted it, and several have responded, and I want to thank them. Mrs. Alice Johnson called me up and gave me a recipe for making the beer, which is very simple, made out of barley and molasses and sugar and so on. And Mr. Arthur Jensen called me and gave me the name of a place where you can get that seed or starter in California. And then another person wrote me a card, and whose name I can't recall just now. Thanks to all of you, and I have reported to the lady who wanted it. You know, this old-time drink was not an alcoholic drink at all. Heavens, don't think that. I wish they didn't call it beer, for I have no license to deal in any booze, and I feel like a bootlegger when I get to talking about this beer seed on the air. But we'll get it all straightened out real soon now. 3 years ago, they got after me about this beer seed. They wanted to get the recipe. You know, in the old days, they didn't have pop and Coca-Cola every minute and had no lemons to make lemonade and no orange juice in our little villages and on the farms. And it seems they made this sort of beer drink, and they say it's very good and healthful. I don't know. I never tasted it. I do remember when we were just kids that we were always puddling up a drink of sweetened water with a little sugar and vinegar in it, and then we'd put a little soda. And it foamed, and my, we thought we were just really having a time. Did you kids ever do that, you older folks? Sugar and water and vinegar, and then you put your soda in. Here it foamed. Long before I ever knew of soda pop. Sometimes Mother would give us cinnamon to put in it to flavor it. It took so little to make a child happy in those days. Oh, an old tin can to knock around and play shinny or something like that. Do you all remember the joy when the first snow came? You could make snow ice cream, and our mother was an awfully sweet mother. She let us make, and she helped us make it. Just clean snow and milk and sugar. But it seems to me now it was the best ice cream I ever ate. Thanks to the 20th Century Art Group of Young Married Women, I spoke for them this week on Ozark dialect. That's my favorite subject. And they sent me a gift of the little book by Dale Freeman on the staff of the Springfield Papers. He has this little book. It's for sale, too. And How to Talk Pure Ozark. It's a cute book. And he really makes it very interesting, especially on what I call the Ozark tongue, rather than the Ozark dialect. Like the typical old-time Ozarker, it seemed they wouldn't sound an E. For men, they'd say men. For hen, they'd say hen. But for nest, they wouldn't say nist. And they wouldn't sound the E in so many, and not, they wouldn't sound their R's. Like, I'm going to iron today, they'd say arn. And for wire, they'd say barbed wire. And a hard hand for a hired hand. They couldn't make that I. Well, you know, it seems almost impossible to them yet, a lot of them of the younger generation, to sound that I. And it's impossible to change anyone who inherited any tongue from any dialect, from any country or any place. But the dialect is what interests me, the words. Like when I was a kid, they said a man was near, and that meant stingy. I know an old woman, she said, I got the nearest man on earth, says he never gives me one penny to rub against another. He's just a near, I can't live with him. Did you ever hear that, Fred? Near. Well, you get your dictionary and look it up. If you don't find near, penurious and stingy is one of the words. Well, I've got to quit now, and I'll give you some more on that Ozark dialect sometime. I'm going to write an article on it right away. First, I said I'd do it the first of the year. Well, goodbye, and I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, the creek don't rise and it don't rain and snow and everything else. Bye-bye.